Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. We are excited today because we are going to welcome back a guest that was on these broadcasts a week ago. Dr. Gozdeh Yücel is going to rejoin us today because she has such a fascinating story, and we thought it would be wonderful to explore it a bit more with her. I don't know if you heard the broadcast. You may not have, but in case you didn't, I just want you to know she's an amazing lady with a remarkable background, and what she is doing today is even a little bit more remarkable. Well, that's up for debate. But the bottom line is she eventually wrote a book. We're going to talk about the fascinating book that she wrote, which just came out a week ago, and I think you're going to find this whole discussion really pretty fascinating. Dr. Gozdeh Yücel is based in Fremont, California. Her background is remarkable. She's almost, it's like she has a second life now, what she is doing. She began with getting a PhD from NYU in New York and then a master's degree from Middle East Technical University in Ankara, Turkey. How often have you heard that kind of combination before? Not very often. She also participated in the Stanford University Ignite Fellowship Program while she was doing her postdoctoral research at Stanford, working on stem cells in the skin. And in that previous life as a research scientist, she actually helped cure acute myeloid leukemia. She had the distinct pleasure of working on the team for 5 years and for 8 months. And the team considered an array of therapies and then found the most success with immune cells, which are how our bodies naturally fight disease. It's a really remarkable story. We could spend the whole half hour talking about that search that she went through. But in addition, later on, she actually fell in love with helping people, consulting with them, and helping people understand how they could avoid problems and dispel conflict by sitting and understanding emotions with them. Emotional literacy is a required therapy to help both academic science research and biotech thrive. She can explain that. But in any event, after helping people do that for a while, she decided to open her own consulting firm, which she has right now. It's called Kismet Consulting. And again, she's based in California. And it's a remarkable career that she is on right now. I think it's really amazing what she did before and what she's doing now. And as I said before, it's like she's had two different lives. Dr. Gozdeh Yücel, Dr. Gozdeh, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. Explain to me a little bit, if I'm right, what it made you fall in love with consulting and helping people avoid conflict? That's really what you're specializing in now. Am I right?
That's right. Thank you so much for that introduction, Doug. That was really great. Yes, so let me see. I fell in love with conflict coaching actually while I was working at a biotech company. And what I realized is people were coming with their, baggage from academia. And they were, they had this kind of ego almost, like to show what they've done and things like that. And that really doesn't go well with science in general. I feel like collaboration and teamwork are necessary to continue science and to do science in a good way. So when I realized we were losing talent at the company that I was working at, and I thought maybe I could help this some way. And at that time, we just had a head of people joining the company, Dee Dragon, and she's been my longtime mentor. I was talking to her and I was telling her, hey, you know, I come from academia, I've been in academia for a long time, so I wanna help you somehow, you know, deal with this issue, because we don't want to lose a lot of talent just because there's some kind of miscommunication and people are not able to talk to each other. So she mentored me and she helped me get these certifications from community boards in San Francisco, which I did in mediation and conflict coaching. So that's how I started. Yeah.
What do you think it is that made you really almost fall in love with conflict coaching? It takes a unique amount of talent to do that. What made you, you know, appreciate doing that kind of work so much?
I guess if I think about it, like, I do come from a culture, like Turkish culture, that we're not afraid of conflict. We can be pretty confrontational people, and I think that's a given. That's our lives, right? So I think having that kind of background helped me understand it better. Of course, the way we deal with conflict in Turkey is not the best way either, but I was not scared of it. I think that's a big part of it, that, you know, I was able to acknowledge conflict. I was able to be in it. And I feel like not a lot of people can do that. They generally avoid conflict. And conflict is a big part of life. Unfortunately, we can't avoid it forever. So we have to deal with it somehow. But in the end, how do we deal with it? That's the important question.
What is different between the way people resolve conflict here and what they do in Turkey? How would you explain that?
Well, it will be like they will be on your face yelling at you. So
okay.
you don't want that.
Yeah. No, you don't.
But yeah, so that's why I wanted to have a way of, like, really sitting down with people. This is what conflict coaching is, actually. Essentially, I sit down with a person who is in a conflict, and I gather data, and I ask questions, and I help this person understand the other person's view as well, put themselves in the other person's shoes, hopefully have empathy for that person, and that opens up a lot of the way how they can deal with it later on. And at the end of the session, I kind of help them find ways to deal with this conflict later on their own. You know, I empower them to do that. So that's the whole conflict coaching session is about.
Are these mostly women that you're working with, or would it include men as well?
Of course, it would include men as well. I work with men and women. I've talked to men and women. There wasn't certain, you know, gender per se that it needed more conflict coaching. I think at a workplace, doesn't matter what your gender is, that you're going to have issues, you know, like, and you have to deal with communication. And if you do communicate well with people, and hopefully they communicate well with you, you can have disagreements, but then you can resolve them without becoming a big conflict.
Do you think people working in the scientific community, which is where you came from, are different somewhat in that they have conflicts with people that they work with? What makes them different from people who are working in, you know, other kind of industries, wherever they might be? Is it unique to that business, the scientific community?
No.
What do you think?
No, not necessarily. Well,
okay.
I think technology firms also go through the same. I think any kind of industry can go through with this, because we are humans, right? We have emotions, we have feelings, and we want to be happy where we are. Wellness at work is really important. We spend 80% of our lives at a workplace. And if you're not happy there, that could ruin your whole life, right? So I started this in my niche were biotech company, because that's where my education is from and that's where I was a scientist. But it doesn't mean that I can only help scientists per se. But I understand scientists better because I've been a scientist myself and I know how the thinking goes, right? So like what, as a scientist, what I've kind of like learned or trained as that, oh, you know, you have to be logical. You have to, you know, not think about your emotions or these don't matter. Just do what you need to do. That kind of idea was instilled in me, right? So that's the training that comes with it. But when I realized that it's not something that as a human being can do for a long time, so that's when I realized there has to be some type of something that can fix this or help this resolve.
Well, good for you. You know, I can't help but wonder if you consider your background, with your scientific background, obviously you have a PhD from NYU, a master's degree, your connection to Stanford. Do you feel that background helps prepare you uniquely for what you're doing now in this kind of consulting?
Yes, for sure. That's a very good question, Doc. Thank you for that. As I've said, I've made these observations while I was in training. So, I was at NYU. First, my PhD was at NYU. That's my first time coming to United States. And that was actually very unique in the sense that it was a lot of mentorship and collaboration, and I learned a lot. It was an amazing training. Once I came to Stanford for my postdoc, I did not feel exactly the same way. I actually felt like I was in an environment, sink or swim, cutthroat, and there was no mentorship. I felt really out of place. And I realized this happens in a lot of places. And actually,
yeah,
that was the point in my life where I realized this can't go on forever. This is not the way to do science. And coming in the industry, I was thinking, okay, industry will be different. Because, you know, is it corporate, there's HR, there's like protections involved, so, you know, there shouldn't be any issues. I was wrong. Because all these people, you know, most of the people at least, are coming from these academic environments into the industry. So they bring whatever they know into industry. So that is very hard to unlearn. I kind of saw it while I was doing my postdoc, and that was the idea in my head. I remember even talking to my mentor at the time that I would do something with this in my life. I didn't know at that time what that was going to look like.
Yeah.
So this definitely was being part of it. And I know how a scientist think, and it doesn't bother me. I don't know if you watched the show Big Bang Theory.
I have seen it,
it's
yes.
Like it.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
right.
So it's a sitcom about this scientist, and there are some characters there that I would say I work with, you know, I work with that kind of character in my workplace. So obviously,
okay.
You know what I mean? So I can recognize that. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you help people. You're based in Fremont, in California. You're in Northern California. How do you work? Do you work, people come to see you in person? Do you work on the telephone with people? Do you do Zoom sessions with people? Explain a little bit about how Kismet Consulting functions.
So, well, I'm just starting the Kismet Consulting, but where I worked at the biotech company, I was like, that was like my side job almost. Like I was a scientist, but I was doing this as a hobby on the side for people. But what I'm imagining from now on, at least this is what I'm trying to set up my business at, I could do any kind of way that you mentioned. I could do Zoom. I could do in person. I think in person would be better. But, yeah, I have a couple of services that would require me to be in the meetings that they're holding. So if it's a company where they do Zoom meetings a lot, then I would just go to their Zoom meetings. But if it's a in-person place, then I think it would be better for me to go in. Yeah.
All right. Another logical question seems to me in what you're doing is your background. You're a Turkish American woman. You do have a unique background that you know not many people bring to the table in this field. How do you feel that helps you as a someone who can help resolve conflicts between other people? Apparently, a very competitive field in the scientific community as well. What about your background do you think helps you there?
Great question. So this is what I think. Like, of course, I grew up in Turkey. So I came to United States when I was 24. So I already had this one type of culture instilled in me. And then I came here to do my grad studies. And I have to say, science is very international. So people come from all over the place. That's a known fact. And that's something that we have all the time. But what happens is everyone comes with a different culture, right? So that cultural clash can occur in the workplace because everybody is different the way that they hold themselves at work and things like that. So what happens is, I don't know, I'm giving examples. Certain culture, I'm not going to name names, obviously. Certain culture is better at talking about their conflict, talking about disagreements. And another culture can be they're very shy. They're not, and then they're taught not to talk about conflict. And then there's a clash. Like, how do you put these two people together? And in my sessions with people, this is one of the things that I talked about. Like, we have to understand the person sitting across from us understands the world differently. So we have to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? When they look away, or when they do something with their hands, don't assume that they're doing something against you. Like, that's what I try to kind of get people to understand. Okay, this is the culture. This is how they kind of explain themselves. So try to understand that. Try to find ways that so you can meet in the middle. That's why I think I have that unique perspective, because I understand coming from another culture, how that culture was different to American culture, and I learn how to accept other cultures. So that's the teachings that I want to show people, right? That's how, like, when you go into a room, how you have to give the people benefit of the doubt and not, judge them according to something.
Well, I think that's a very good answer that you just gave, and it really explains a lot. Again, you have a great website, by the way. If anybody listening is interested in getting in touch with you, you can find Dr. Yücel at kismetconsulting.us, kismetconsulting.us. There's another subject I really want to talk to you about, and it's the fact that you sat down and actually wrote a book, an extraordinary book. And what made you think you could write a book? Is this something you wanted to do from early on in your life or not?
Well, I remember as a kid that we had a really old type of typewriter, and thinking about, maybe I'll write a book one day. But I was never like a writer. Of course, I wrote you know, publications. I wrote my thesis, actually two theses, you know, and but those are all scientific type of writing. So what happened was when I was going through really hard times about 4 years ago, someone suggested that I write them in, like I've journaled them, I write them down so that I kind of process my feelings that way. So that's how it started. Then one day there was enough of it that I was like, maybe I could make this a book. I reached out to a book coach, David O'Neill, and he's helped me a lot. And we would just do sessions. We would sit down every 2 weeks, and he would look over my writings, and he would just, you know, advise me on, okay, add a paragraph here. Why don't you extend this? Why don't you do this? And he helped me shape the whole book. Because when I went to him, I didn't know this was going to be a book. But he actually helped me shape it. And he made me believe in myself. He actually said that my writing was good. It was very open, very honest. And so, you know, that really helped me. And the book is, you know, talking about my journey through the hard times. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to point out here, the book is called Kismet, and it's described as a Turkish-American woman's unlikely story of race, love, and personal transformation. It's your story that you're going through, and it includes a lot. Tell us briefly a little bit about it, okay?
Yes, I was starting to tell you, it talks about the journey through the hard times, navigating divorce, and handling the custody of my kids. But it also touches upon important subjects like race and mental health. And self-love is the book's biggest takeaway. It was like, it was really my life. And it was a very, it's a big project for me. And it holds a special place because it encapsulates the past 4 years of my life, during which I dedicated my nights and weekends while balancing a full-time job. And within its pages, readers will find the essence of my experiences captured through the tears shed and heartfelt reflections poured onto a black canvas of white pages.
I gather divorce was a major part of this story during this period of time. You had three sons, and it says here, you know, the description is, divorced or separated, readers will find solace in the universal themes of heartbreak and the eventual empowerment that comes with embracing one's own worth. You talk a lot about that and the problems you had with custody of your children. Is that right? That's a good big part of it. Right.
Yes.
How did you find writing the book? Did you go on a schedule of getting up in the morning and writing for X number of hours, or not? And explain a little bit about that and about how you got the book published. That's another big story a lot of hopeful writers, you know, don't know what to do with.
Right. So, as I said, it was mostly the journaling that I did. No, I didn't do it like I woke up. I was not like, you know, I didn't have that kind of time anyway. I had a job and three kids. But what I would do is like when something happened, then I would just like sit down at night and just write it on a piece of paper or like on a Google Doc document and just write it. And so that's how it really started. But, you know, the interesting thing is when I was working with a book coach, he mentioned that like, I was better than most of his clients because they would have an author block, right? They couldn't write or they didn't know what else to write. And I didn't have that problem because the way that he would give me assignments, right? I'm a scientist, so I'll do them. So I would get it done. So he'll give me something like a list of things to do. No matter what it takes, I'm going to get that done. So I never came to me as like, oh, I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write. It's just like, I did it. I did it because it's like my training, right? I'm a scientist. But the way I published it, yeah, I would love to share my experience. They call it self-publishing or hybrid publishing. But once we were done with the editing, I contacted a company, Palmetto Publishing, and they were the ones who handled everything. So I sent them the manuscript. They helped me choose the cover picture, cover art, and then, like, they also, you know, set up everything. And they marketed for me as well. That was the package. But yeah, definitely I recommend it. I recommend that publishing company. But it's, yeah, I think I liked my way of doing it. Of course, you know, there's also the other way, the old-fashioned way, where you have to go to these, like, big publishing companies and show your manuscript, and they can either accept it or not. But what I was told that, unless you're a celebrity or you've been an author before, it would be very hard for me to get to those publishing companies and get my manuscript accepted. So I chose this way. Yeah.
Well, listen, I know you're very proud of it. Let me ask you, have you had some friends read it and give you feedback, their reaction to the book?
Yes, actually.
And what did they tell you?
And someone said, like, after 2 days, someone reached out to me and said, wow, that was amazing. I couldn't put it down. And I was so happy about that because, you know, it's like you put your heart out there and you're putting it out there and you're just, like, anxiously waiting for people to read it. And that was the first reaction I got. So that was really cool. That was really cool.
Well, that's probably great, absolutely, with that kind of reaction. So the book just came out on the 19th of March, you know, like a week ago. By the way, I may as well ask you, where is the book available? Is it, you know, I'm likely to say Amazon. Is that possible?
That's right. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and we're in the process of putting it in Audible as well. We're just trying to find a person who would read it. I wanted to read it, but they didn't have that kind of package. So, yeah, it'll be available. And if you Google it and there's other stores like Thrift Store and other bookstores, they also sell it as well. But mainly is Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And there's an e-book there too, so if you want to get an e-book.
Yeah, those are the two biggies. I mean, if you're in there,
that's
quite an achievement. You must be, I would think you're elated. In fact, look at what you've done. I mean, you've done so much in your life. This is another crowning achievement. Congratulations for this. Good for you. Don't you feel that way? You should.
Thank you. I do.
Really?
I do. I mean, seeing so there's a picture of me on the cover of the book. Seeing that cover on an Amazon page, it's a different thrill, definitely. I can tell you that. I was like, you know, seeing that was like something else.
I agree with you. And it's a beautiful picture. By the book again, it's called Kismet, and it's by our guest, Dr. Gozde Yücel. So there you have it, folks. What a remarkable story you've had. It's been wonderful chatting with you again, Dr. Yücel. Thanks for being with us, and good luck with the book. All right. I know it just came out. It'll take a little while to catch fire, I guess. But good luck with it. And congratulations for all you've been able to do. All right. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Again, your website is kismetconsulting.us. Kismetconsulting.us. And the book is Kismet. Thank you, doctor. Bye for now. Okay.
Thank you.
Your broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do, and that's it for this edition of Close Up Talk Radio, everybody. Take care. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.